Hello, and welcome back to Piece by Pieces, the podcast unpacking the human experience. Season 2, we're focusing on mom and motherhood and being a mom and raising kids and being that person for our kids. And as I've been, you know, really shuffling through some stuff in the past while, the other day, I was really reflecting on like things that influenced the way that I parent, because I did not set out to be a gentle parent or a conscious parent or a responsive parent or a respective parent or attachment parenting or any of those things. Like, I didn't know that any of that stuff existed when I became a mom. I didn't know. I was ignorant to it all. I was not educated. I had no idea. I actually had no idea what I was doing. I had no idea what I was going to be doing. I had no idea. And I remember even, when I was pregnant, because my husband at the time, Rosie's father, she is his sixth child, I believe. So like, he'd done this before, obviously. And I remember telling him like, hey, I don't know what I'm doing. So I'm gonna need you. and really that was, you know, that was like a bit for connection with him, of course, to like, you know, I wanted like to be closer to develop our relationship a bit more and, to get him, like things felt distant then for me. So that was a, you know, an open door to that. Anywho, we obviously got divorced, so I'm not gonna dwell too much on that, but it did get me thinking about like how it went, you know, literally when Rosie was born, like I didn't, you know, really past her birth. I prepared so much for her birth that like beyond her birth, I didn't even have clothes I could breastfeed in. Like the day that we needed to take her to the doctor, like the first doctor's appointment after she was born, I was like, I don't know what to wear. Like, what do I wear? Nothing fits. I don't have anything that I can like breastfeed in anyway. So, you know, I started with like below baseline, I feel like even, cause I didn't have younger siblings. I didn't grow up around kids. Like I never really babysat. I didn't have any of that experience. And I spent the first chunk of my adult life like actively not wanting children. Like not wanting children, not wanting to be a mom. Like I remember when some kids moved in next door, when I was in my 20s and I lived in California, like I remember being like, children. So I've figured a bunch of shit out, basically. So anyway, but I was thinking about like what things came into my life that did influence. How did I get here, basically? How did I get to this place of being the type of parent that I am, of being this conscious parent, this responsive parent, this like non-reactive parent, you know, like being stable and not triggered and just, you know, seeking connection over correction and, in being in tune and securely attached. Like I didn't know what that meant. I didn't know what that meant when she was born. And all of these things, like, how did I get here? Like, how did I get to this place where when I have a gathering of friends for my birthday and my daughter is there and I'm just doing what I do with her. And then the day after, I get multiple messages from different friends, and they all comment on just how wonderful it is for them to observe me and my daughter, how wonderful it is for them to observe our relationship and see the special connection that we have, for them to look at us and be like, I mean, even be like, man, like little me healed a bit today by watching you two together interacting. And I've heard that from my clients before, because, you know, I do my business from home and I also homeschool. So she's always around. And, you know, when we were on calls, when I'm on calls with clients, like she comes in sometimes and like they, you know, and at first, you know, like we're taught like, oh, I'm working, kids need to stay away. Like that's what we're taught. Right. But like every time that I would, you know, in the beginning, I'd be like, oh, I'm sorry, you know, I'm sorry she came in. And they were like, no, no, no. Like, that was amazing. Please. Like, why don't we include her and type of stuff. So anyway, so gosh, okay, 5 minutes in, but I'm going to get into this. So like, I was thinking about things that influenced the way I parent. Like, how did I get here? And I have a list and I have this written. So let's see if I can keep myself on track. The first one, is hypnobabies and the DR. So it's this belief. It was this things that happened in my life. So I was in the Peace Corps. I served in the United States Peace Corps in the Dominican Republic for 2.5 years from 2012 to 2014. And that's where I met Rosie's dad. And things are just different there in terms of the human experience. Again, like looking at it like that, of course things are different. It's a different country, different culture, different lifestyle, etc. But like the human experience is just, it seems, for lack of better words, like just more natural, less structured, less fake, less striving to be something that it's not, I guess, like just more real and natural and like, this is life type of thing. Like taking life more on life's terms instead of like putting lipstick on a pig type of thing. And I use the program Hypnobabies to prepare for birth, which is a hypnosis program, to prepare your mind and your body for the birthing process, for pain-free delivery and things like that. So like through that program, like it reconnected me to my body and like this, and it developed this trust in my body. 'Cause like we women are literally like, our bodies are literally created and designed and engineered for the birth of babies. but yet the, like the birth complex, the birthing complex, the medical complex will have us thinking that like, we need all this assistance and we need to check all these things and we need to do all of these things and make sure everything's going okay. And then we need to monitor and then you need to lay in bed and we need to hook you up to all these things. And then we need to tell you when to push and all this stuff. And it's like, oh, no, you can do all that. Sure. You know, go ahead. But there is another way, you know, like women have been birthing babies for thousands, millions of years. So there was this reconnection to that. There are things that are very instinctually happening, relearning to trust my body, my intuition, my heart, that what I know to be the right choice in actions for us are for me and for her and the flow with nature. And those things, the way of the heart, instead of like these external worldly expectations. And, you know, I've done that according to my heart. And for me, a unique individual, and for Rosie, who is also a unique individual. So like my choices don't have to be your choices. They shouldn't even be your choices. Maybe there'll be some overlaps, right? But like you are you and your child is your child. And that's probably going to lead to some out of the box choices. And that is where the magic is. And those choices are going to flare up some outside and internal gremlins. They're going to flare up your mother-in-law, your sister, your neighbor, whomever that person is or people are for you. And when you start trusting yourself and your mom instincts and following through on those, you're going to be going against some grains. Right? You're going to be going against some grains. And is your nervous system ready for that? Do you have healthy coping skills to navigate those moments of feeling unseen and unheard and misunderstood and being told that you're wrong? Or maybe not even being told you're wrong, but like feeling it, right? Like we can feel it when someone doesn't believe us. Like they don't even have to say it, but like their eyes talk, their body language talks, like they're just energy talks. The ones that are telling you that you're messing it all up, that you're making a mistake, that you're not doing it right. Do you have the confidence and the courage to go against the grain on those things that you know are right for you and your kid? Is your subconscious mind that runs 90 to 95% of your thoughts, actions, behaviors, is that on the same team as your heart? Right? Or is there internal conflict around these things? Right? And you know what? It's not just the out-of-box choices or the against-the-grain choices, it's any choices. Because any choice that you make, there are going to be people around you or on the interwebs that don't agree. Right? Like if you're, you know, picture it, like if you're in if you're in a neighborhood, like if you live on a cul-de-sac, if you live on a cul-de-sac and there's four houses there and you all have kids that are the same age and you're all sending your kids to preschool and you want to send your kid to preschool, then like you're going with the grain. But if one of you is like, no, I'm not going to do it, then all of a sudden like you're going against the grain. But also conversely, if you're in the same, a different cul-de-sac where everyone's homeschooling, but you're like, no, I'm going to put my kid in preschool. Like they're all like, oh, really? You're going to do that? Right? Like, so it was that outside stuff depends on who you're surrounded by. So even more like, do what's best for you. But you're gonna feel that pressure from outside. But that pressure, like you can't control them, but you can control you. You can address you. What does this mean for you? What's happening inside of you? Can your nervous system and your subconscious mind support you? Support you through these things and help you navigate that? Is the love in your heart guiding your thoughts and words and actions and behaviors? Or is it fear and worry and guilt and shame and spite? You know, this isn't so much true anymore for me. But you know, not so long ago, like the best way to like motivate me to do anything is to tell me I can't do it. Or that I shouldn't do it, or that I'm making a mistake. And it was like, F you, I'm gonna show you. You don't think I can do this? I'm gonna prove you wrong, right? And I'm not so much in that camp anymore because I get to make my choices. I get to make my choices no matter what. So, you know, what is motivating? Is it the love in your heart, or is it proving someone wrong? Is it punishment for you, or for your kids, or for them? Like, are you doing things to, like, you get what I'm saying? And the loving power and authority over my role as her mom. Like, no one else birthed her into the world. That was me. This is my role. I don't own her. She is her own sovereign being. She does not belong to me. She is not one of my possessions. I have been given the role of mother to her in these years as she grows. And I have been given stewardship over her, over her. And her unique and individual human being, her own temperament, with her own wants and needs, and her own gifts and abilities, and her own interests. I am a steward to her and to all of those things. She is not here to make my life easier. I am here to assist and guide and support her during these developmental years. That was the first one. And I'd love to hear any feedback that you have. Anything that this stirred up in you or inspired in you, or maybe you disagree with me. I even want to hear that. The second thing that has influenced how I parent, like how I got here, is my experience with RTT and coaching with rapid transformational therapy. So part of the RTT process is childhood regressions. It's guiding a client back to the moments in time of their childhood that are directly connected with the issue that is presenting in their adult life today. Because the body keeps score and the subconscious mind remembers everything and it's all connected. Cigarette smokers are not born, they're made. Addicts of any kind, whether it's shopping or food or sugar or heroin, they're not born, they're made. Babies are not anxious and depressed. They're made anxious and depressed. Like they become that, right? They're not that when they're born. It all came from somewhere, an experience you had when you were smaller, younger, lighter, shorter, that left an imprint, a belief when you were growing and developing and learning about yourself and the world and your place in the world. My experience with RTT, seeing, hearing, guiding, being led through moments of my own childhood and with my clients, that it's not linked. It's often not. It is sometimes, of course, but it's often not linked to the big bad traumatic events that everyone thinks, or worries that might be in, you know, buried in their subconscious. It's everyday things. It's the commonplace things. It's the commonplace moments. It's the words. It's the patterns. It's the culture of the family that leave these imprints. It's the harsh words spoken by an adult at the dinner table when they're just, they're just tired and they've had a long day and they don't have the patience left anymore, right? It's not giving importance to the things that are important to the child. It's getting angry and blaming and shaming the child for completely age-appropriate behaviors. Messes, breaking something, crying, needing attention, spilling something, getting their clothes dirty, drawing on the walls, dumping their food onto the floor, not wanting to be strapped into a car seat, getting upset about something, anything, the absence of love and attention, which is not the same as absence of care. Keeping someone alive is not the same as nurturing and loving them. And there's so much more. That it's those things that leave the imprint of, they don't care. Therefore, I'm not worthy of being cared for. They don't love me. Therefore, I'm not, that must mean that I'm not lovable. You know, that like these people, our parents, that are like our lifeline when we're children. We depend on them, right? And if I'm doing something, if my emotions are too big for them, then there must be something wrong with me. Like these are the type of things that happen that I've seen in my own, in my own experience and working with my clients and in my training and all of these things, right? That it's those things far more often than, you know, physical abuse or sexual abuse or, you know, any of those things. Those things are there, yes, but it's more often these other things. And that even when it is a big traumatic event, a fire, a house broken into, a car accident, an illness, death, abuse, mistreatment, it's not what happened. It's what did or didn't happen next. Was there an adult that cared about what the child had experienced? An adult that asked and listened, an adult that comforted and assisted, an adult that co-regulated and helped process through and guided the child back to a sense of safety. Did that happen? Was that there on the other side of whatever happened? Or did the opposite happen? Was the child dismissed? Was the child's experience dismissed, not believed? Was it treated as not important? Was the child left alone to make sense of it? Which will be the belief that I don't matter, that what I want doesn't matter, my feelings don't matter, my beliefs don't, you know, like these things, that's what's left, right? That's what we're left with. That's the imprint that happens when those things happen and don't happen. The beliefs that stick until we're older, taller versions of that child that choose to look for answers to the questions that they've asked themselves their whole lives, right? So through these experiences of mine, and knowing where and how these beliefs and thoughts and imprints and traumas come from, and can come from, right? Because inside of each of us is this entire universe of human experience that is 1,000% unique. You know, it's not like there. Yes, there are some similarities. There are some perhaps overlaps. There are some, like, we could put them into categories. We could make pie charts, but like the individual experience of the people and the space and the environment involved and the things, the emotions, the feelings, the connections, the mental thoughts, all those things that happened in the child during these moments, like that is completely unique, like a snowflake. And inside each of us, there is like infinite numbers of this. And it's wildly amazing to me and fascinating. Each person that I get the opportunity to do an RTT session with, it's just this, like going down the golden brick road, yellow brick road. I said it wrong. But anyway, it's like going on this huge adventure. And it's amazing. So knowing what I know about where these beliefs and thoughts and imprints and traumas can come from, that's definitely shaped how I parent. I'm more observant and less assumptive. I let her choose when I can. I give my reasons for my own choices when she seeks to understand. I enter her world, seeking to understand and know. I suspend my initial judgments of things, and I get curious instead. And I'm not 100% perfect in this, of course. Like I said, we are not. I am not. But I catch myself, and then I can correct. And like, yeah, I respect her wishes, her no's, and her yeses, and her I don't want to's. I respect those, which is not easy, especially when you're surrounded by maybe your parents or your family or your neighbors or other moms, because you know those eyes are judging, right? It's not easy. It's simple. Oh, respect her no's, yeses, and I don't want to. Sure, I can do that. Right? But practicing it, doing it is a whole different level, and you're going to encounter so much stuff that you didn't know was there. I also gently guide when my mama instinct tells me to. You know, like if her no's and yeses or I don't want to's, like if I, and again, I let my mama instinct, like if I know, like, hey, I need to push her a little bit here, or like whatever it may be. I don't have an example. Because also as I entered the coaching world years ago, and getting intimately familiar, like getting to know these other women that were also new to business and to coaching and to motherhood or divorce, hearing and seeing and reading their inner dialogues of these women, their deep fears, the ways that that they were limiting their own potential, and the ways that they stayed small and safe, the ways that they were afraid to be truly seen, the ways that they doubted themselves and talked themselves out of their own wants and needs and quieted their own voice, the way that they placed their own self-worth in the hands of others, the way that they stayed in a familiar hell and the lies that they believed, knowing that they were not, like me, knowing that they were not born with any of that, knowing that they learned all that at some point in time from their lived experience, and knowing that I wanted the opposite of all that for my daughter as much as I possibly could. I want her to know that her voice is her superpower, that she has a purpose, that she has special and unique abilities, that she is important and valuable and worthy right now. Right now. Sitting on the couch out there, probably playing Minecraft and watching a YouTube video. Like, she is valuable, important, and worthy. She doesn't have to do anything or be anything or achieve anything or perform to be valuable and important and worthy. She is capable and confident that her wants and needs are valued and important, that the things that she is interested in are perfect for her. It doesn't have to make sense to me, and it doesn't have to be the things that I want her to be interested in, because believe me, there is a mismatch there. I want her to know that she is loved and seen and known and understood, that she is wanted and cherished and nourished and nurtured, that she is respected and respectful, that her feelings are valid, and that anything is possible for her, and so much more. So intimately knowing and hearing all of this stuff from these grown adult women, all of these doubts and fears and worries and self-sabotaging and getting in their own way and all of this stuff that was just holding them back and keeping them small and safe, knowing that they were not born with that and that it came from somewhere, paired with my experience and training with RTT, and knowing that that's all tied back to childhood and the different, the vast, like billions and trillions of possibilities that could lie there of where those things came from. And knowing that I was just going to do my best to be here in each moment as to the best of my ability, which varies from moment to moment and day to day with my daughter, to just do the best that I can, knowing what I know. Now, I know some people that are in my position, because I've talked to them too, that they almost enter into this like complete anxiety around like, oh my God, I know all the things that can go wrong, and all the things that even from like being like, no, you can't have chicken nuggets today, you need to eat fruit. that an imprint can come from that can turn into like some big, you know, internal mental monster that they're dealing with when they're 30, you know, that like they get wrapped up in this anxiety around that. And like, that has not happened to me. because I also know that like shit's gonna happen. That there is no perfect, and there's plenty of things about our life, you know, like I'm a single mom, so like I am her lifeline. So she already carries a certain anxiety around like me being with me, not losing me. Like just yesterday she woke up having had a nightmare as soon as she woke up in the morning, and she had a dream that I was in jail and that I told her that I was going to die soon. Can you imagine the anxiety that would, and fear that would give a child that is not like viable of living on their own, right? Like that doesn't really happen until like 8 or 9 years old. And, you know, obviously not an ideal situation there, but like they could get by, right? She's not there yet. And I am her one and only right now, right? So like, I know that there's anxiety around that. You know, I know that there's going to be some stuff around her dad not being around. Even though, like, I mean, we just had a video call with him yesterday too. So like there is contact there, but like, it's not the same, right? So like, I know there's going to be stuff that is just there, right? But in all the other ways, I do the best I can. And when I mess up, to address it and try to set it right and to keep my assumptions and my own stuff kind of like shuffled over to the side and be present with her, right? And that leads me into number three, which I hadn't even looked at because I went off on a tangent. But number three is wholeheartedly accepting my role as her most important influencer. That if I want her to grow up to be bravely, confidently her, living her heart's desire, knowing how to navigate challenging situations and all of those things, that I must first model that for her. I am her most important influencer. I am her most important teacher, not just ABCs and math, but in this human experience that is so vast and full of nuance and intricacies, and it's beautiful, like the most beautiful crystal that you've ever seen shining and throwing rainbows all over the room, and each facet slightly different, and wow, right? That I must model this for her, that I choose to model this for her, and I continue to choose that because she's watching me. And mama, they're watching you. They're watching you. She watched as I healed through divorce and continue to heal through my mom's death, that she is on a ride with me as I navigate this motherhood. Like I said, I didn't start off with a whole bucket full of skills, right? Like I did not have all this stuff. And everything that comes to the surface when you start making against the grain choices, not just in motherhood, but in life, man, like the past few years of my life, well, you know, it really goes back a long ways. My mom always said that I marched to the beat of my own drum. But anywho, that's another story for other days. in this wholehearted accepting of my role as her most important influencer, I focused on uncovering me from all the learned BS, and not just uncovering and discovering and getting to know me, the true me, like the me behind all the masks and stuff, right? All the learned personalities and all the roles that I've played for other people. The me that's behind the decisions and the actions made for others. The me behind the people pleasing and the performing and the placing my inherent value in the hands of others, or in my abilities or my skills or my expertise or what I have to offer, my appearance or my weight, my hair color, whether I'm wearing glasses or not, right? Like, I deconstructed a lot of stuff that I had learned along the way. The words that I used when speaking about myself and my body and my work and my abilities, the words that I use when I speak about others, openly sharing that it's okay to feel sad and angry and disappointed, and walking through that, And if I want to instill the importance of her taking care of herself, that I must take care of me and model it. And if I want to live, if I want her to live her dreams, then I must also live my dreams. If I want her to believe in her abilities, I must believe in my abilities. If I want her to walk away from things that are not for her and her highest good, I must walk away from things that are not for me. If I want her to make her own flavor of against the grain, out of the box choices and decisions, I must also do that. And this means getting really curious about myself and my patterns, my thoughts and my behaviors, my beliefs, my blocks, my worries, my fears. This means getting my mind right, retraining my mind, creating new chosen neural pathways instead of those that were gifted to me earlier in life. This means regulating my nervous system so that I don't react to things that are not actually threats, like disapproving looks from the woman at the grocery or sarcastic jokes from family or Rosie drawing a heart on a new shirt because she loves it with a Sharpie. This means retraining my mind and nervous system out of constant fight, flight, or fawn mode. This means learning new stress management techniques. This means setting my vision, my values, what is important to me, choosing those things, deciding upon those things, not just going out of default, not just rolling down the path that's been laid for me, right? And then living in alignment with those choices and those decisions, living, thinking, acting, choosing, behaving in alignment with those values confidently, even when they're different from other people, even when others don't understand, even when others disagree, even when others tell me that I'm wrong. This is the path to freedom from guilt, freedom from shame, freedom from stress and pressure. And you might be hearing this and thinking, wow, yeah, I want to be guilt-free in this motherhood journey. But how do I do that? Yeah, I want to trust myself. Sure, of course. Gosh, man, what if I trusted myself? What if you really trusted yourself? What if you really trusted yourself? Yes, I want to hold tight to the path that gives life. Maybe you're saying that to yourself right now. Like you have this little life in your hands. Your hands, mama. What are you doing? Are you holding tight to the path that gives that little life life? Or are you placing a bunch of rocks in her backpack that aren't hers to carry? Or his? I've created a program called the Joyous Mom Accelerator. This program includes 4 modules of motherhood and life-shifting trainings, exercises, and most importantly, quick, easy, powerful, transformative brain training tools that get your mind on the same team as your heart to regulate your nervous system, to replace guilt and shame and stress with joy, peace, patience, love as a mom. And a bonus, this will all ripple into other aspects of your life as well. Man, if I had had a program like this, there's a chance that I wouldn't have even gotten divorced. I would have, a lot of the things that I was feeling guilty about the other day that was gremlining up in the middle of the night, which hardly ever happens, that those things wouldn't have happened with Rosie. That there are some things that we're still working to repair and some things in her that I don't know where they came from yet. But I'm here, you know? And that's all okay. You know, maybe you're listening to this and your kids are already past 7 years. So you're like, well, crap, I messed everything up and now it's hopeless. It's not hopeless, man. It's not. There's always, I mean, think about me. Think about us adults. Like, our parents didn't know what they were doing. They thought they did. They were doing their best. They were doing their best with what they had where they were. And there were wounds that happened because of that, right? And that's okay. And I'm working through it, have been working through it for years. I've healed so much. I mean, I could tell you stories about how different I respond to things now than I did even just a couple of years ago. It's crazy. It's miraculous. It's wow. Anywho, so I've got this program, the Joyous Mom Accelerator. I invite you to apply for a DM conversation with me. This application, it's just a questionnaire. It's just a questionnaire to like, let me know some information, let you know, to connect with me. And that's free, you know, that's free of charge. And it's not just the Joyous Mom Accelerator. That is my kind of flagship program in this, but there are different pieces of this and there's all different levels of investment and there's all different levels of the power of transformation that is here for you. So I know that there's something that will work out for you. So go ahead and click the link below and apply for a DM conversation with me and let's just chat and see what could work. And if we're even a good fit, if I can even help you or if you're even in on this or whatever. And because I know that there's something that will work out and man, because this motherhood journey, we're not meant to do it alone. We're not meant to do it alone. And it's not easy when, even if we're not alone and we are surrounded by people, but they're doing it like we want to do it a little different. Like that's almost harder, right? It's almost harder because then you're like, well, what are they going to think? And they're doing it this way. And I really want to do it together. But blah, 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 and all this, like all the multiple pathways that can all take. Anywho, this episode is long enough and I love you. And I would love to hear from you guys. Apply for the DM conversation and we'll go from there. I would love to hear your feedback on this. And if you can, you know, go ahead and give a 5-star rating or whatever stars you think. Of course, you don't have to be 5 stars on Google. Tell your friends, you know, but yeah, and listen in for the next episodes. I love you. You're doing amazing. We got this, and we can do this together.